When you're lazy, you're not willing to work and do things that God commands you to do.
Being mindless at the same time. But then you can be mindless like doing other things that are like good for you. You know what I'm saying?
Example?
For example, going to the gym.
Working out? I don't think so. What mm-hmm. most people do, they show up, do their little workout, in quotes, but they're not being mindful. That's why they don't see progress. That's why they don't see the health benefits that's coming from it.
We live in the world where greed is a very big aspect of especially young people's lives, where we really think that we need more than we actually do. Do you want to living a lifestyle more on abundance or this abundance of wisdom, relationship with the Lord, being a moral person? If God appeared to you right now, what question would you ask? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be continuing our conversation from a previous topic where we left off, talking about some of the deadly sins. We went over three of them last time, right? It was envy or wrath.
It was wrath.
What is envy, wrath, and wrath lust, different?
And gluttony.
Was it in different categories, envy and wrath?
Either different.
Okay, so wrath, what was it?
Lust and gluttony. That's the
gluttony.
Three we
lust
talked
and
about.
Gluttony.
Okay, so we talked about gluttony last time. I didn't think that. But yeah, this one, this time.
Gluttony.
We're going to be talking about sloth, being a sloth. So laziness, greed. And
envy and pride.
Envy and pride,
yeah. So let's start with sloth. What do you guys have in mind about that? It's spiritual and physical laziness, right?
Read the scripture that says it right there. Proverbs 21:20. Oh, that's kind of our quote of the day. I'll read it anyway. We'll kind of touch back on it.
No, don't.
No, okay. This says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
Yeah, when I searched it up too, it gave me this things where, like, when you're lazy, you're not willing to work and do things that God commands you to do.
Right.
Right. So, for example, when there's like a lot of commands that you're given from God and for you to do certain things in the world, you're not going to be able to do those things because you're lazy. And when your soul's lazy, you start to like kind of become spiritually weak too because you don't do these things, you don't practice these things.
Yeah.
I feel like one of them could be going to church, praying. Reading the Bible, this could be like laziness that could be coming from you.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're just not.
I think it's almost like mindlessly just going through the motions, right? Just like going slow, not really being intentional, just going throughout your day, not really just like avoiding things slowly but surely.
Yeah, exactly.
Would that be the same type of like laziness? I mean, look, being mindless and still doing something is the issue of being mindless. But would that fall in the same category of being lazy? Are you lazy when you're mindless?
No, not all the time. I think it just depends on the situation, right?
Yeah.
Because you can be mindless, like going to the gym. It's like, yeah, you go to the gym, but it's like at some point, like you can't be mindless all the time, right?
Right. But then you could also argue that is part of laziness because you just kind of brought it in with laziness, right? It's like being mindless, going through the motions, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I was asking.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Do you think it goes in that category or no?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I was just asking.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did, but I just wasn't sure why you kind of looked confused when I asked that.
What about laziness?
Because you said no to me, because when I said, does it go in the same category, you said no.
Well, yeah, I think it just depends. That's what I said. Like you can be lazy and mindless at the same time, but then you can be mindless like doing other things that are like good for you. You know what I'm saying?
For example.
But is that you being lazy?
For example.
For example, going to the gym, right? You can be mindless, go walking through your workouts, just going through the motion, just following.
What does
through.
That look like?
It means you show up, you kind of just don't really think about anything, you're kind of just like going throughout your sets. I guess you can call it laziness, yeah. Look at the definition. Lazy.
Yeah. Because I don't know.
Mindless.
I think there's a different... Because look, when you go into the gym and work out, I'm just trying to understand, put in perspective of how you can be mindless about it.
Mm-hmm. But just turning your brain off.
What's going that
through?
Look like?
Go to the machine to machine.
Oh, like not really not worrying about
not really like worrying about the weights or intensity. You're just going through the motions of just like... Have you ever been like mindless going to the gym? Like no thoughts, just like there? I have.
You don't think about anything else other than working out.
No, we don't.
No, right? That's not what he's saying.
No, just like being just like mindless. Like, you know how like you like wake up in the morning, you try to just like go throughout your day. It's the same thing. Like it's like habit, right? It's just a habit. That's why we kind of need habits.
That's good though, right?
Eventually, it's not good. I don't think so.
Well, when is it ever good?
It's good because at least you went to the gym, right?
Yeah, but your mind—you said you're mindless going to the gym.
See, that's
so you're not mindful.
I don't agree with that because it's not about you doing something; it's about you being mindful of what you're doing.
Okay. So do you think you'd be mindful like all the time?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mindless like in the gym. When you're working out, you have to be. I mean, if you're not mindful in the gym, are you really working out? I don't think so. You're just not doing anything. Then at that point, you're just showing up. What most people do, they show up, do their little workout, in quotes, but they're not being mindful. That's why they don't see progress. That's why they don't see the health benefits that's coming from it. I don't know. That's just what I think. Mm-hmm. You can't be fully mindless either because then you're not even working out. I wouldn't call that a workout at me.
Yeah.
I'd like to put that in the category of like, you really either worked out or you didn't and you were mindless about it.
Well, look.
I don't know. That's just how I'll put it.
Okay.
Mindless, acting or done without justification or concern for the consequences.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What would you say?
Maybe they are the same.
Yeah.
Lacking or showing a lack of intelligence, thought, or conscious awareness. Yeah, so you're not really aware of what you're doing when you're in the gym. So you're not thinking about, okay, am I making progress?
Uh-huh.
Am I going up the way? Am I really optimizing my growth? Am I doing some drop sets I'm supposed to do or supersets? You're just there to be there.
Yeah.
I've definitely done it, but I wouldn't say it's fine.
Yeah. That's like brain laziness. You know, you're just turning off your brain for something that, you know, you should care about, which is progress and also being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not like a feeling where you're brain is turned off and you just kind of like don't know what you're doing, but you're not thinking about the consequences necessarily. So I think it's important when we talk about mindlessness or mindfulness to, you know, mention the consequence part of you're not thinking what's coming ahead of you after doing a workout or being in there and what are, you know, your future goals or what are your goals being there or why are you even in there in the first place. So that part I agree, but then whatever that is, you know, being mindless and going to the gym, that it's a good thing because at least you're in the gym. It's like, I mean.
Obviously, that's not sustainable at all.
Right.
Can't be.
Have you ever been in a moment where you started going to the gym mindlessly and then you slowly were mindful?
Like it wasn't like, I'd say I'm going to the gym. I'm just going to. Do it. Like, not really
I think we were working
it.
Out mindless yet at one point during quarantine. Yeah. We were just showing up. We were
like,
just
here's what
out.
I'm saying, right? Like that long term, of course, you're not going to make progress. Yeah. But for some people, that is just what they need. They just need to show up in the beginning, right? Like whatever they need to do. Some people don't even have like the motivation or anything like that. So at least just showing up is good. But long term, you're not going to get anywhere. That's why you need to become mindful.
But should you give the advice that you should be mindless going to the gym?
No, of course not.
Okay. Because it can seem like that when if we say that, you know, okay, you're mindless going to the gym, but at least you're showing up. It's like, do you even have to be mindless to show up?
I guess
to the
I give more context when I say that, right?
What is it?
I gotta give more context.
Yeah, no, I just think that it can lead people to thinking that being mindless in the gym, as long as they step in the gym, is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can completely take out mindlessness and just start showing up to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would be mindless, just showing up to the gym. And I don't think there has to be an aspect that has to go into it with mindlessness by showing up to the gym. It shouldn't even be there.
Because I feel like this is just with myself and with a lot of people when I've asked them about this. Like, even us, like I just mentioned, during quarantine time, we would show up to the gym mindlessly, but they didn't help us fall in love with the working out.
Mm-hmm.
What got us into being mindful in the gym is first come to an understanding that we shouldn't show up in the gym mindlessly. We first have to become mindful on a lot of the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes you mindful of other things. Not just like, okay, look, I'm going to show up mindlessly long as I show up and it's okay. Because it's not. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree.
I just would never give advice like, it's okay.
Me neither.
Okay. Perfect.
What is the word fervent in spirit mean? Do not be slothful in zeal. be fervent in spirit. Serve the
Can
Lord.
We search it?
Can you search it up?
Fervent is like sharp. Sharp in spirit. Fervent. I got it. I search up on Safari. Mike searched it up on ChatGPT.
Yeah. It can give more context sometimes.
Fervent is an adjective describing something that is characterized by intense emotion or enthusiasm. It can be used to describe strong feelings, belief, or desire. Okay.
So I think it just means like being full of the feeling in the spirit or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure. So biblical would be...
I was spamming ChatGPT
primarily
the other day.
Signifies yeah. intense... passionate and zealous devotion, particularly in prayer, love, and service to God.
So I feel like sloth yeah. can just come with like not being truly connected with like something in the future. Either like you're yeah. stuck in the past or you're just not really think. Yeah, it's like being the whole mindless thing. Like if you think yeah. of a sloth as an animal, it's like that's you, bro, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's being like empty, drained. You just feel like lazy. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to put in any work. Yeah.
You just don't know why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. But the thing is like, when it comes to being like slothful, like what ways can this creep into people's lives? Not just that. Cause for example, like scrolling can be mindless
yeah.
with the foods that you eat can make you mindless, or lazy, like feel like all bloated and sluggish right. people around
Habits.
You with like negative words, your sleep schedule, if you're staying up all night, blue light exposure all night, and then you wake up like headache, tired, whatever it is.
Right.
Habits. You could be overstimulated.
Drinking alcohol.
All these things that like drain you in your life. So when it comes to the sin of sloth, it's like you're going to look at your life and just think of that, like, all the things that are draining you and making you just like super, super just like
lazy
and empty.
Yeah. Yeah. Spiritually and physically lazy. Because look, I think one of the things that I tell people, especially when it comes to working out, is me and Georgie were looking into, like, we went in this rabbit hole of just asking ChatGPT a bunch of questions on how, you know, doing physical activities and physical exercises actually impacts your mind and your body biologically, and that will improve your mindset on things or how you feel and how do you just move throughout your day.
Look even.
Yeah, right. And all of that just plays such a big role in your everyday lifestyle that I think when people say, you know, I just want to improve in my spirituality and just, you know, read the Bible, be closer to God, all of that, but then ignore the physical aspect of it because, you know, it's not as important because it's just physical. Eventually it will die. It will rot. It's not what matters. Spirit is what matters. But I just think that it's a very dangerous path to take. Because this is the exact laziness that it leads to. Because if you're lazy about your body, that means you're not valuing, one, what God gave you and what God gave you as a responsibility. And that is how you carry your spirit, is through your physical body. Now, it is distinct from your body, but then your body is also distinct from the spirit. They're all made separately, but then they come in together to work together. It's like one can't work without the other. Where would the spirit be without body? Not on earth, somewhere else, right? So it's like when you think about these stuff.
Should have separated it. Even though it's different, you should have
yeah.
separated, right?
I think there's a time and place to separate them, to understand its individuality and the purpose it serves individually. But for you to say one is more important than other is you now trying to disvalue this part of being that God created you with, because God created us with physical, mental, and spiritual, all three together. That's what makes us human beings. So when you try to take out one, you're also trying to take away, yeah, exactly.
Slowly but surely, right. yeah.
And also remove, you know, this aspect in your life that God also granted you to say, I don't think this is that valuable, God. Let me just focus on the other things because
I know better.
Right, something like that.
Let's name some examples too, because I've had times where I was reading the Bible, but
yeah.
I was reading it, but not like understanding it, right?
Yeah,
I was reading it, just like showing up to just read it, but I didn't really get it.
Yeah, I've had
that's like an example of just being like slothful, or
yeah.
Even when it comes to church too, it's like we should show up earlier and stuff like that.
Right.
But of course, sometimes we have to change the times, but to always just like put it off. Like as soon as like you start negotiating, putting things off and like, you know, that you're procrastinating, that's like when you're being a sloth.
Yeah.
Especially in the faith, right? In your spirituality.
Yeah, especially when that part with reading the Bible and stuff. So many times you just want to read that one chapter, let's say before bed or something, and you know, you read it.
But you read the words, but you don't read it. Like
yeah, exactly.
You and don't like you understand.
Right. And then you end up falling asleep, and you don't really understand what you read. I think a good thing about that is you get all these information stored in your subconscious for sure. But when you're present in the moment, your brain definitely gets all like most of the information in there better than you just reading it just to read it, just to, you know, read through the chapter. But in reality, you're not really there to learn it. You're just there to, I don't know, I guess show up. That's better than nothing. But it's also, there's, I think, levels to it. Is, I mean, how many times are you going to show up just to show up until you turn to actually showing up to learn?
Yes. You know? So I don't want to spend too much time on a sloth again, but I just want to like kind of wrap, like, say this last point that like being a sloth, I feel like this is like a silent killer almost, like being slothful. People don't even know it. Like they're randomly like watching, consuming, going here, going there, just like letting life control them, not them like being consciously aware and mindful of their own life. Yeah. I'm saying like, I don't like going to the gym and being mindless. Like, I don't like that. I don't like going through the motions. I hate that. It just feels like I'm not alive. I'm not human. Like, I just feel like I'm a bot.
No, what does that feel like going through motions?
If it feels like you feel like a shell of a person. You're just like doing the things out of habit. Like my body's moving, but my spirit's not in it. Like my body's into it just because it's just like how it moves through the habits, but like my spirit isn't alive into it.
Well, what would that look like in your life? Like what would be the thing you would be doing throughout the day that would make you feel that way?
What do you mean?
So would you be able to bring up an example on when you did a certain thing and what it looked like and how it made you feel and
like,
why?
I've read the Bible before and like didn't really understand. I was just like reading it just to show up and read it. Or I would eat my foods without like just like eating them, tracking them without even like really thinking about it. And sometimes like...
What does that look like?
It's just like you... What do you mean? What does it look like?
The food thing. That's just so confusing to me. You said I would eat food.
You just don't like...
But I wouldn't really track it or...
No, you would track it, but you're just like... You're just showing up getting the rep.
You don't know like, why you're eating that certain amount. Like, for example, right? Yeah. Let's just say in the morning, you start to have different type of breakfast than you normally would have. Okay. Because you're like... Breakfast isn't just about me having this certain food, but because I need this in morning because I'm going to do this, for example.
Right.
If I'm going to work in the morning, I'm not going to eat a bunch of food, even though I can.
Yeah.
And I might be in that habit of like, let me eat a lot because I might not be able to eat afterwards or something like this.
Yeah.
That's a bad habit because you're not being mindful of what you're eating a lot in the morning when you don't need to, because then you won't be able to work.
Is that what you said?
I don't think I'm explaining it right.
Yeah, that's not what he said either. That's what's the confusing part. You said a completely different thing than what he said.
Like what I'm trying to say is that...
Like, for example, you made ground beef with eggs.
Yeah.
Is that mindless? Just because you eat that all the time?
No, but I can tell it's like... It isn't really like... It's not.
You
like,
said it's a feeling, but I think it could be just in your head, right?
Could be.
So that's what I'm trying to ask is that what does that look like? So I can...
Maybe I'm confusing it as like maybe discipline instead. Like it might just be me being... Because I'm not like... feeling into like whatever I'm doing. You don't always need to like feel into the task. Do you feel like you always need to feel like you're doing the task or feel like...
No, I think sometimes your life has to be very spontaneous and it just has to be. It just has to be, right? So sometimes you have to, like what Bruce says, you have to be like water. You have to be able to be adaptable, where sometimes you just have to just kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Would you know what that would look like? Not for somebody who is always like, oh no, I have to have a certain hour for this, a certain hour for that. I got to always be in control of my life. I don't have to, you know, necessarily go with anybody else's schedule or kind of what they say. I always have to be in control. I always have to be in, always know where things are happening, how long and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that is living a life of full schedule and not making sure everything is aligned the way you want it.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's what it looks like you're trying to say, is if it doesn't happen within those categories, it feels mindless, as if your spirit's not really there with you.
No, that's right? What I'm saying. No, what I'm saying is that, like, let's just say you have a schedule and you just go throughout of you go through it without even like being in it, like into it, like consciously there. You're just going through the motions of the habits.
I don't know. It's confusing for me to imagine. Maybe that's not something I've experienced. It's hard for me to imagine.
You know what I'm trying to say here. You ever been through a judo practice and you're just like not like you just showed up and just did it. It's kind of the same thing going back to the gym. Like you just went through the motions of the gym. Like you don't even know really. I guess you.
George, did you ever have that?
Like just.
I've had that with reading books, but now I don't understand when you said about food. I still don't. I thought that's what you meant, what I explained, but I guess.
I think I'm just confusing it with like. Well, look. I don't know.
You can't be like, oh, I was mindful of going in the bathroom. It just happened.
Yeah.
You just wanted to use bathroom, but that shouldn't be with working out.
Hmm.
Work, sports. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Maybe eating food, sure. Because you woke up, you need to eat before you go to work. Sure, you can't be like, yeah, I made food and I was eating. But you can't be like, I don't know. Bro.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think. I mean, do you guys understand what he was trying to say? I understood all the other parts, but the food, it kind of confused me. Well, I don't know what that would mean to be mindless about making food. Because you just make
food. It's such a habit that I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, dude, if you don't eat... you're gonna die. So of course you don't have to always be like, let me be mindful of what I'm like. You're eating food. What do you mean by, I don't know.
That's what I mean. Confused. You don't, I don't have to think about it. It's really just a habit of what I'm eating. Like I'm not like consciously thinking, oh, what am I gonna eat? Like, what am I gonna eat? I already know. And I don't even have to think about it.
But then you said it wouldn't make you feel good because you would feel like your spirit's
not there. Because I don't want to always like be like, because you almost feel like long term, like having to feel like that, like short term, like, yeah, to get through, like I think I'm describing like discipline, right? You don't really feel like it. You're just doing it, right? Just to do it. Not to just do it, but
yeah,
it's a habit, right? We build habits so that we can sustain them for long periods of time because we might not have to feel like it all the time. Like sometimes I don't feel like making my food, but I just do it anyway. And I don't feel it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like into that. I'm not consciously there. I just do it out of habit. I know I need to do it. That makes sense? Are you guys starting to understand it in a sense?
A little bit, yeah.
I wouldn't say eating food is should be a discipline or a habit that I need to make food now. I don't need to be mindless about it. I mean, I don't need to be mindful
about
it.
You don't need to be disciplined with your food? What do you mean?
No, you shouldn't.
Why?
I mean, I'm not like, oh, I need to make food right now because I have to. I want to make food because I want to eat. I want to nourish myself. I don't want to eat because I have to get the calories in. Now, some people might have that. I don't. I don't eat to get the calories.
You reach some sort of calories?
Yeah, of course.
So okay, that's why you do it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think that would be good.
I think it's a bad thing.
Well, if you're not hungry and you still have to put calories in your stomach even though you don't want to, how is that a good thing? You're forcing yourself, basically.
Sometimes you have to force yourself to do things.
Yeah, but if it's constant, I don't think it's good either.
You have to force yourself to eat food.
So the same way to force yourself to train. Train hard.
When you don't, that's pushing yourself. It's not forcing yourself to train.
Pushing yourself, forcing yourself.
Dude, that's training. That's your performance.
Yeah.
Why is that same thing with food?
Sometimes you need to eat, especially if you're trying to eat in a surplus. You're going to eat more calories than your body maintains.
Yeah, but then you're feeling bad about the fact that you didn't want to eat, but you had to eat to get the calories in because you needed to track them. Right?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, what? I don't know. I think we're confused here.
There's no point of continuing this. It doesn't make sense. Like you're saying, you're not wrong. I don't know. Like I'm confused what you're saying. You're confused what we're saying. Can we just move on?
Like, yeah, sure.
It's,
yeah.
It's going nowhere.
Yeah, that's fine.
Greed, idolatry of wealth and gain. Yeah, I feel like this one's deep too because we live in the world where greed is a very big aspect of especially young people's lives where we really think that we need more than we actually do. Meaning seeing what people have accomplished or seeing what people have in their lives makes us want to also have them because they put out this message of, okay, well, if you don't make X and Y in terms of money or wealth or have a nice car, that means you haven't put enough work and effort into or disciplining yourself to be successful or, you know, have dedicated your life to, you know, working so hard that you could afford all these materialistic things, but that just creates idolatry for wealth and for gain and for things that are simply for the show. Because look, whether you drive in a Prius or Ferrari, they both get you to same place. However, one just is more luxurious, one is more for status, one is just more expensive, more sporty, louder, whatever, you more fancier. But in reality, it still does the same job, but it's just the status that people like to put that on focus themselves on. And focus on, rather than you know, focusing on the things that are more important. I think that's just what it comes down to, is do you want to be more, well, living a lifestyle more on abundance, like materialistic abundance, or this abundance of wisdom and, let's say, good health, relationship with the Lord, good spiritual
person, being a good person.
Yeah, being a moral person, and, you know, making sure that what you're doing aligns with God and his intention for you, or his purpose for you. Because it's so easy to get lost in it. I mean, I just know so many people where they think that just because, you know, you can ask God for things and he will give it to you because he can, that he will do that. So people now in their prayers or in their life, they think that, okay, I'm gonna work hard now. I'm gonna pray to God for God to give me these materialistic things. And then when I gain these materialistic things, oh, God is giving it to me. Just because you're praying to God to give you materialistic things and you get it, that doesn't mean that God is necessarily giving it to you, right? So you can, I can sell drugs and pray to God, God, give me this Ferrari for your glory. And then next thing you know, I'll make tons of money and then I'll buy Ferrari. That's me being delusional. Now, obviously my example is very severe with selling drugs, but this can just simply be you getting caught up in the world, living a lifestyle of everybody else and learning from the people who are not in a relationship with the Lord and getting the advice from them how to, you know, use money and channel it in a good way. Does that make sense? I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think
a lot of entrepreneurs have, like, it's easy to fall in that pit.
I think a lot of people just because you have materialistic wealth or whatever it is, doesn't mean it's like, that's, you can glorify God through that. Like, he doesn't care, like, if you have a car. Like, he's not like, yeah, you have a nice car, but who cares? Like, that's not going to glorify me, right?
Yeah.
You are, like, we are way bigger than a car. He is way bigger than a car.
Right. So how would you say we could glorify God with wealth and good car? Or success?
I think it's about the service, right? It's about, like, the impact. It's more intangible than tangible, the impact that you make, right? It's about, like, getting other believers. It's about helping people out, servicing people. Is that what you're asking?
Oh, yeah. That's part of it. Like, now, what I'm trying to say is that specifically about greed is we also live in a world where a lot of things people want to accomplish and do good things with money, but don't think that there's so many simple things that you can do in people's lives without needing any dime. Just give somebody the advice that you would give. I mean, obviously there are some financial advice that you can give to somebody and that can be the service of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, people also overthink the fact that you can give simplest advice to somebody or help them spiritually to get to where they want to go, which is essentially more important than the materialistic thing. Because you will see a lot of entrepreneurs saying, you know, God helped me through this. You know, God was there with me. And it's all beautiful and everything. But then you don't really know how that person has made that much money. And they don't ever really, I guess, go deep into what their businesses are. They just focus on the numbers. They just display the numbers in front of you. And this is how I've made it. And then use the God's name for the attachment, the emotional attachment on people. And now people think, okay, he made so much money. That must be because God gave him that money because he said, God made me rich or God made me famous. And now I'm going to want to be in that same person's
place. So I think this is kind of ties into pride too, don't you think? Like materialism. Because I think greed is more about, it says right here, by trusting money over God that it will solve your problems. Because, like, let's just say you have a problem in your life.
Yeah. Because
God is not your rock. It's money. It's like, oh, once I have more money, once I have this, once I have that, then it'll be solved. Then I can pray to God. Then I could be this. Then I could be that. Yeah. Once I have X, Y, Z, once I have materialistic wealth, once I have this or that.
Yeah.
I think we kind of tied pride into what we were talking about right there when it comes to, right? Like just,
yeah.
It says for pride.
They do go hand to hand. I mean, because yeah. Greed will eventually tie into pride. No,
it is different because pride is like a, it's like an endless pit. Like you'll never be satisfied.
The way I'm seeing is like,
but what did I say? Did I say greed or pride?
Pride.
I meant greed.
Oh, you meant greed?
So, yeah, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is greed is that endless pit where you're just wanting more and more and more. And yeah, I mean, I guess nothing is wrong with being ambitious to gain more, but to what extent, why do you want that much? Is that's the question is, okay, I want so much to help more people, but it's like, do you really, okay, I think it's a very personal thing, especially as a Christian. I think what you should be asking is, when you are going after money that much, can you really be spiritually as close to God when you're focusing all day, every day about money or like materialistic things?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I just think one takes away from the other.
Yeah, you're lacking.
And that's
one.
Why people need to have a fine line on what do they actually need versus what they simply want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because people will want fancy things. Want. We will all want fancy things. I mean, you're going to want to have a nice car. You're going to want to have biggest house. You're going to want to have, I mean, that's just the human mindset, is what I'm trying to say.
It's also it's subjective too.
If you don't
too,
value it, then you don't want it. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, well, to some extent, you have to value money, but then you have to also understand what it is there for.
I'm not even
right?
talking about money. Yeah. I'm talking about value, like
you need to have like materialistic things, right?
Nice car, nice house, all that stuff. I mean, you can have a normal house, normal car. Listen, you have to understand these things that we live in a world where, at least in this generation, like back then, you could say, probably a Ferrari was like a crazy car. Now, bro, if you buy like a normal BMW, that's still a good car that you can drive, but you don't have to get too greedy and drive Rolls Royce because it's like $500,000 or it's $1 million car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because now, now with a nice car, now people are going to be like, oh, this guy made so much money that he's driving a car that is $500,000. Can you imagine how much money this guy must have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He probably makes not that much. He just bought it.
But why do you need a car that expensive? Is that the question? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Right. I feel like there's just so
that
many cars that are
going that greediness, not because he has a nice car or he has a nice house. It's the excessive amount that you want for yourself.
I also think that when people say God gave me this or God helped me with this or God this and that, I don't know. I'm just learning. I'm just observing. I'm just, you know, seeing how people use God's name and stuff. And a lot of times I see that people are so fast to say and believe that because they see somebody successful that says, thank God and praise be to God's name. And I'm, you know, I only fear God and that's it and all that stuff. People are so naive and easy to believe that that man actually fears God. It's like, do you have a proper understanding what it means to fear God? Do you have a proper understanding on what it means to be mature in your prayers when you talk to God? Or what are you asking God to do in your life? Are you thanking God more or are you asking God more? It's like, which one do you want from him? Do you want to thank him for what you have? Or do you want to ask him more in your life because you don't think you have enough? Because look, let's be honest, right? Complacency is biblical. A biblical understanding of complacency is a very pure thing when the world has now flipped it to saying, if you're complacent, you don't want to get better with your life and you just want to be lazy. But how Bible describes complacency is very different. And it's one of the verses I'll read in context.
It's like humbleness, right? Almost.
Yeah,
like being
right. It's just the simple fact that we will all be okay just simply trusting God. We would. The only thing is, it's hard to do that when around the world you got a bunch of different people telling you that, guess what? You can be complacent and trust in God, but also have this, but also have that, also have this and that. But it's just very hard when you read through the Bible to understand the abundance. Right? Bible doesn't ever really talk about abundance materialistically ever. Never talks about it positively. I mean, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? Have you seen Bible just praising abundance or praising materialistic needs as if that's what it is? No. Or does Jesus ever teach us that? He doesn't. But then people want to use God's name and thank him for every materialistic things they have, but not talk about the spiritual enlightenment that they have gotten. I mean, when was the last time you heard somebody say, oh, praise be to God for the wisdom he has given me, or the love, or the patience, or the peace that he's given me?
Opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Rarely.
It's all just
rarely about the simple things. It's always the big ones. So just because somebody has the big thing, oh, that's where God's glory lies. But it's not always the visual things where God's glory lies. It's usually within who you are as a person. How hard is it to be a person of having very little in your life, but being so abundant, or being so thankful and grateful, than having so much and being very grateful, being grateful very little? You know what I mean? Not being so grateful for what you have, because you were like, oh, well, guess what? Not only was it God that helped me in my life, but I also did X, Y, and Z. I also did this and that. Now, if you don't do that, you're just complacent, bro. You're just not working hard. You just don't want it as bad as other people. You're just, you don't want to help people as much as I do.
It's a toxic message, right?
Yeah, it can really get toxic. And for the most part, it is. The bigger the wealth, or the bigger the influence and fame, it looks like the bigger the focus of that becomes over God and its simplicity. So let me just pull this up, because, you know, have you guys heard this verse when people say, I can do all things through Christ?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you guys? When you just hear that, I can, and how have you guys heard people use, I can do all things through Christ?
You can overcome things through your faith with Christ.
Right, but if you were to put it in example.
I've seen people using that way where it's like, whatever I ask God, God will give it to me type of thing.
Right.
That's how I see people using it. When it's not in that context.
When I first read this too, that's kind of like what I thought is,
whatever. John 3:16, right?
No, it's Philippians 4. So Paul actually talks about this. So, how when I first read that, it was just a verse. And when you hear that, especially as a new believer, it's like, oh, look, I've put my faith in Christ and I've trusted Christ, and now I can just ask him for anything. He will give it to me because now I have a relationship with Christ and I can do all things because I know who he is, and I can just do it, right? But when you read the context on when Paul was talking about that, is very, very different. Let's see.
What's the time?
We're in 38 minutes. It's like 37 because I started like a minute.
Okay, it's the 13th verse. Okay. Right, so look. I'm just going to read from 10 all the way to 13. Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, and this is important, listen to this, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I can learn both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
It's when more spiritual, not right, materialistic things.
Exactly. So when you take just the 13, that can apply to anything in your life. But when you read the context, Paul is actually talking about just being content in whether you're hungry or abundant, you can do all of it. So you can be as happy, as content, as successful, as rich in everything as you would with abundance. That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to put so much glory and emphasis on Christ's fullness in us, through us, that we don't need the materialist things, but people think that having the materialist things brings bigger abundance in Christ,
through Christ
versus
yeah.
less things. Because now when you have less, people think you are working less. When you have more, you must be working more. But that's only, I think, from it's a perspective. I think it's only a perspective of greed and being caught up with the wrong things. Now, I'm not saying people who have made money and who are successful and have nice cars and a, you know, good life, so to speak, materialistically, are not followers of God or not trusted God. But it's just, I've been observing that people have been using the abundance part in a very irresponsible manner, in a manner where it becomes the drive. I mean, should money be the drive with anything? I mean, should it be, I just want to make a million, or I just want to get to a specific number. I want to get to a specific abundance. Should that be the goal?
You can't focus on that. You can't focus on that because it's not something you can control. What you can control is like how you impact other people. It's like how you exert yourself out into like the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like me, like for example, like when we personal train people, it's like, we can do that, but it's just like, we can't like take their money. It's like, it's, it'd be like stealing, right? So it's like, money is just a byproduct, right? It's,
yeah,
so that's
what we always say. What you're there for, right?
Yeah. And use that as like the goal. And thing is, like, I feel like some people will see that and like be like, oh, but like, how do you make goals outside of like money goals?
Yeah.
I don't think money goals are necessarily bad, but it's just like, that's not, you can't really, it's not what you really want.
I feel like it's empty, dude. Because they reached to the point where they're, like, we even read, we had a topic where, I don't know who he was, but I think someone that invented Apple, he died and he was still not fulfilled.
Yeah.
He made so much, but he was all empty. Same with money. When you're chasing that sort of like fulfillment that, you know, I want to make this certain amount from this business or something. Mm-hmm. It's empty. You know why it's empty? Because then you're just like questioning, like, what was this for?
Well, here's the thing. Steve Jobs, he wasn't chasing money. He was chasing like building things, like building an impact, but that wasn't connected to God. It wasn't aligned to him. So at the end of the day, your service should be connected to God, whether it be you focus on helping people, but like, why you want to help people? Like, what's the purpose behind that? Right.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't that also mean that he was chasing something? Maybe he wasn't necessarily chasing money because he was just getting so much money that the money wasn't something he could focus on. Hmm. Now he wanted to do something where he could invent something so big that the world would have known his name. Now he was just chasing being famous, being world known man for creating something big. So now he has put something above money that was having the power and the influence over people because of his character, mm-hmm. right?
It doesn't matter. It's still empty. So if it's not empty.
But you brought up a great point about if it's not done in God's glory, it's empty. Mm-hmm. So whether that's something
small. It's dead because you're dead.
Right. Whether that's a within the small community or something on a bigger scale, if it's not done for the glory of God, it's empty. So how can somebody, you know, develop a mindset or learn how to distinguish things from doing it in God's glory versus, you know, doing it in their glory or for a different purpose? Like, for example, you know, I want to glorify God's name by being a specific person, like, How does one do that?
Yeah, I think it's a tough question, but
yeah.
I would say you have to talk to God about that, right?
Yeah.
Like he's the one who kind of opens your heart and fills you with the Holy Spirit and like guides you.
Right.
Like, it's not, I feel like with this question, it's like, write out your goals with God, right? Have him in every single part of your life, whether you're creating money goals, service goals, whether you're do anything, like have God in that picture. Like I remember times that God set goals. It's just like, it's more about me and not like the godliness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how would you say Steve Jobs didn't do it in the glory of God and he did it for his own glory?
How would I say?
Yeah. Like, how would you say he has done that? Because obviously he said he felt empty. That's because he wasn't doing it for the purpose of God. He was just doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it was temporary, what he made, pretty much. It wasn't, like, eternal.
Then why do we ever have anything? So it's like, how do we chase the eternal glory?
You just don't get greedy, I guess.
That's the main fact. It is a tough question. I'm just trying to...
Like, I don't really know Steve Jobs like that, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really...
It doesn't have to be about him. It's just an example. Mm-hmm. Like, when somebody says that, okay, at the end of the day, after having all of this, I feel empty...
Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can do to kind of grant you eternal salvation, though. So it's like even your works. I mean, faith without works is dead. But it's like there's nothing you can do to get to heaven. It's all God.
Okay, maybe I'm forming the question wrong, but what can how can we give people the advice on how, you know, taking the steps or really understanding how to do things for the glory of God? Put that in practice in their everyday life to glorify God's name in everything they do.
I think it starts with like service, I guess, right? Like,
yeah,
like look at things like, who are you helping, right? That's how I would do it. Or read the Bible more, or pray to God about it. It's kind of like what I would say. What would you say?
I would say, well, a couple things. Reflecting Christ in your character. So, you know, some people have to see something different in you that is not, that doesn't belong to the world. Meaning, when they look at you, they've got to notice something that is different apart from the world. And it's not to say that you should do something different for them to notice that in you, but you just have to be the person where when somebody looks at you, they see something different that they do not see in other people, not because you're acting that way, but that's who you are. Mm-hmm. And when people pick up on that, that is a good sign of you being a good disciple of Christ. Because if you don't stand out from everybody else, then you are like everybody else. And as a Christian, if we do follow the teachings of Christ, you won't be that way, because everything that we do testifies against the world. Our lifestyles disprove of what the world is calling us to do.
So therefore, you're automatically going to stand out, not because you're trying.
Yeah, every single of our speech contradicts what the world is chasing, what everybody else who lives in the world chases. The things that we tend to think about, others don't think as deeply. The things that we take seriously and at heart, people don't. The way we love people, others, because of our transformation through Christ in us, it doesn't align with other people's love, because other people's love in the world is the exchange of love. Mm-hmm. So I love you because there's something about you that I love. It's not close to unconditional love as much as I would want it to be. There's always something that I'm holding on to that I love you for. I wouldn't love you if you, let's say, I wasn't your friend. I wouldn't love you if...
you didn't do this for me.
Yeah, you didn't do this for me. Or I wouldn't love you if you weren't my wife. But I was having this conversation with my friends yesterday too, is when it's hard to talk about these topics if you don't bring up the difference between like heavenly love, which is given to us through Christ, versus the love that anybody can experience, right? Anybody can feel love. It's an emotion. But oftentimes, people have a hard time truly forgiving people who have wronged them. They have a hard time loving somebody who doesn't love them. They have a hard time caring for somebody who could care less about them. And that is where your character in Christ comes through, is do you care? And do you know that you care about that person when you see they don't? Do you want to help them when you see that they could care less on what you're trying to help them with? And are you still going to try your best to be there for that person, even if they don't understand why you are doing what you're doing? And I think there's a different approach that you can take towards that, is a time to step back and time to be in their life. But the idea is still your care from your heart. Is if you lose that and you now have conditioned your care for somebody because of their energy towards you, that means you have now lowered your standards of love that Christ has given us to being deceived by the enemy. You know what I mean? And it's a deep thing to understand. Not everybody will get it. People usually are left confused, but it's the message of the gospel. It simply is. What Christ did on the cross, he forgave his enemies. He forgave people who were cursing him. He forgave people who were mocking him. People didn't understand why he would tell them the things he would about hell or heaven. People still think, I mean, look at the comment that we got from the other day, right? On our comment section, is people look at Christ's message as a fear-mongering type of thing, where he's pushing people towards fear, but this type of fear where it's like he just wants control, or people have thought about, okay, what if he was this guy who just wanted influence and all that stuff, but then every other evidence within the context of his story tells you the opposite. If he wants all that authority, why does he do things the way he does? Why does he voluntarily go on the cross.
Because those people,
to forgive people's sins.
Have zero IQ, that's it.
Yeah.
You can't think, bro. Really, like, come on. If you can't see a simple story when it's given in that context and you want to interpret it however you, and you're interpreting it exactly the opposite of what it is, you just don't think. Like, I'll be honest. Like, it's just
the confusion. Confusion?
They just don't want to see it like that. They don't want to think. Some people are like that, Sadullah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, of course.
They just don't want to think.
Of course. There's also this aspect where people are not misinformed. But people are misinformed because of what they hear.
But that's also from everybody their else. Fault because they have to think about this. Like, why is this person saying this? And they have to read it themselves. They can just listen to the world and be lied to. That's their own responsibility to. Like, if I'm getting lied to, that's my responsibility to understand if somebody's lying to me or not. I can't always depend on the world to not lie to me, right?
Yeah.
Even though we live in a disagreement and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
They know, like, even if they don't know about the Bible, religious, or this stuff, they know other things. They know the system is built to lie to them. So if they know that's built on lies, then they also have to question other things too, which automatically comes with the human beings.
Do you see that, like, in your day-to-day life, or, like, when you just go out in the world, you just see people react, I guess, towards other people, how they treat other people? And it can be very subtle.
Like, both ways, good and bad?
Yeah, like, towards how much they care for that person, or because somebody's random, they don't really care. But with us, like, there's really nobody that's really random. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we understand that everybody's God's people at the end of the day. Yeah. You don't see that until you have the Holy Spirit in you, because you don't have that changed heart. You don't perspective.
We see a lot through, like, being prejudiced, being racist, like, seeing, like, other, like, for example, the whole idea with, like, other races and, like, they have, like, stereotypes. It's like, no, it's like you don't even know them and you're, like, already judging them. It's like being mean towards people. It's like one way.
Yeah.
Or just someone just random and you're just judging them right off the bat. Right?
Yeah, it could just be, like, very, very subtle things, yeah, that, like, you tend to notice when you understand the difference between how things are being viewed in the world by people who are not saved and people who are saved and people who have the Holy Spirit and people who don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just really not that hard to tell. I mean, for example, it's just a simple matter of, and it doesn't have to be about, like, being born again or having a Holy Spirit or not, but it's just a simple matter of, I mean, look, the other day we were playing soccer, right? And then this one of our friend was filling up the water and the other guy offered, he said, can I have a sip? But it was like one of those bottles where you can just squeeze in. You don't even need to put your lips on the, you know, it has like the top.
With the Gatorade bottle or something?
Yeah, something like that, but very little bit different. Yeah, that's the point. Is you can just squeeze it and drink it. And previously, before this other guy who he just met that day, his friend asked him for a sip, and he said no to him. But then this other guy, who he didn't really know that well, asked him for it, and he goes, well, I didn't give it to my friend. Why would I give it to you? So it's like they already have this understanding that because I didn't show the love to you, and since you're my friend, of course I wouldn't do it to the random person. So now I have just differentiated my care and love and affection because somebody's my friend versus somebody who is random. But it doesn't look like God commands us that way. He doesn't tell us to differentiate people from where they are in our lives. We are supposed to love each other and care for each other the same way, whether it's random or not. And that is where it's difficult.
It's a different type of love. It's not like a love of me having towards you because we're friends. We know each other for a long time. But the fact that he's still a random, that I don't know him, but I'm still not supposed to be resentment towards him. You know what I mean? That's a resentment if you think about it, what he just told, the story. Like, your resentment towards him because he's random. If he was your friend, he probably wouldn't be the same way. So in the sense, we shouldn't have that resentment hard because we don't know somebody. Like, same thing with what you brought up with racism too. Like, you're already judging someone because they're black. Because they're Asian. I don't know.
Does that example make sense or no?
Yeah.
Like, let's say your friend asks you for money. Let's say your friend asks you for $100.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not say you don't give it to him. And then next thing you know, a random person comes up to you and asks you for money. But you say, well, I didn't give it to my friend. Why would I give it to you?
Mm-hmm. You're already making that differentiation.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of like where I was going with that.
Yeah. get it.
All right, we got pride and envy, right? Those two left.
Which one should we talk about? You guys can talk now. Talked enough, I guess.
Okay, let's talk about envy.
No, you're good, bro.
Doesn't matter. So, obviously, jealousy, having jealousy towards somebody because they have probably more than you.
Yeah.
Whether it's materialistically or where they're at with their lives.
Right.
Somebody might be blessed with something from God. And you might be like, oh, like, why didn't God give me this?
Yeah.
Envy. And it's actually, when I searched it up, brought up this example that through Satan came envy.
You can't.
Yeah.
Why would I, if I could give it to him, why would I give it to you?
I so expected that, yeah.
Yeah.
It said a very, you put it in a good way. Now that I thought think about it too, it's like through Satan came envy that led people to death. Death entered into the world. Because if you think about it like deeply, Satan had the envy that God loved Adam and Eve so much.
Yeah.
That he was willing to do anything for them. So Satan had to somehow tempt them, somehow get them away from God, which he actually succeeded.
Yeah.
But then God always had a plan for people. You know what I mean? He wasn't planning on like doing that just like he did with Satan.
Redemption, yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that just comes from that.
Yeah, and envy is like the most it's like very illogical because no one else has like the same story as you were at all. So yeah. It's like, how could you ever compare yourself to anyone?
Yeah.
But I think we talked about this like before, like comparison to a certain extent isn't a bad thing if it's like used. I think it's if it's like used to kind of help you in a sense. So what are you guys' thoughts on that now?
Yeah, like kind of you're comparing your friend or having this good challenge between you two or a couple people where you look at other people and you see that they have good qualities that you don't, and you are striving to have the same qualities or better. Because you genuinely want those qualities for a good cause, for a good purpose. You see that their life is changing. You see that they are doing good in their life. They are able to help people through what they're doing. So now you want the same thing because you understand the impact it's creating. Not because I want to do it better than him, therefore I get more attention than this guy, or I make more money than him, or I'm more famous than him, or, you know, I am better than him, that type of thing. But not. It's just a drive to be better together.
Yeah.
You know, having two people, that's good, than having just one and the other one envious.
Yeah, what do you guys think this means? This verse right here says, each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else.
Mm. Where's that from?
Galatians 6:4.
Galatians. Oh, well, you can share your
GBT gave us. GBT gave us was envy versus identity, and so they're opposites. And so with identity, I think when it says that, it doesn't mean like a prideful identity, like where like you're self righteous or arrogant. I think it's talking about just like stepping into the person God created you to be. That makes sense. Like almost like be into your story. Like stay in your lane. Since
your own business,
like,
right?
Be fully into like your own lane. Don't worry about, don't look at what everyone else is doing. And I think when this says, then
pride
they can...
is meant in both ways, right? Yeah. Like, you can have a pride by having good morals. That's your pride. But then there could be pride of like being too confident, overly confident with your abilities. And you're like, this is all me and being all this egotistical person, right?
Yeah, I think I can get rid of
that's right.
Envy is by looking at your own like story, like being looking around you, look at the people around you, being grateful. I think gratitude is like something, a little practice that anyone can do on a daily basis to kind of get rid of envy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because even I searched it up, emphasizes individual responsibility and self-reflection. It encourages believers to focus on their own actions and character, examining their work and conduct before God, rather than comparing themselves to others. This verse highlights the importance of personal accountability and honest self-assessment in the Christian life. So yeah, instead of trying to get approval of other people and what they're doing because they have X, Y, and Z, you reflect on yourself. What have you accomplished by being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, living a Christian life, and examine that and truthfully tell yourself, am I a good Christian or not? Not, is Mike a good Christian and how is he a better Christian than I am? Don't worry about Mike. Examine yours first, and then you can go to Mike for advice or take his life for a reflection.
Yeah.
That simple.
And like it says, resentment of others' blessings as well, because some people, I think, the people who think they don't have any blessings in their life don't look around themselves. Like they look, they're just too worried about other people that they don't look at what they actually have. Like even if like you only have one parent in your life, oh, at least I have a mom, parent. At least I have a dad, or at least I have a friend, at least.
Some don't even have any.
Yeah.
Some don't even have anything.
Because there's definitely people, like you guys know the area I live in. It's pretty nice. It's suburban. Yeah. A lot of kids, they're ungrateful, right? And they're very envious, right? Of other things. And even that they have all this like this big safe space, this big bubble. Like I used to be one of those kids, like, like I'm suffering the most here, right? It's just like, buddy, like you're fine. I trust you.
Think deep about it, and everybody needs to.
You need to be grateful.
Stepping out too. I think it's a good idea to step out and experience things on a different side. Like maybe go to a place where things are not as nice. Go check out some neighborhoods that people are living in bad houses or live in broken down houses. I mean, look it up on YouTube. Go on search. Go travel around the world. Get a flight ticket and go to countries where there's actually, you know, poor people living in there,
and you're still grateful. Then you're gonna understand.
And you will see that they're actually grateful and very humble, and that will help you understand on where you are. I think most of the problems with some people in America are coming from just the abundance that this country provides, and people don't step out of it. Because look, if you see an average American and you ask them like where they've been outside of U.S. Very few have been outside. Ask me right now. What is it?
Ask me right now.
How many countries have you been, Mike?
None.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that people within the United States have been, you know, very few of them have been outside of the States and for a very short period of time where they haven't even had the time to explore and understand different cultures and different traditions.
Even like going to a different state. Too, like you see different culture, different types of people.
Yeah, even then you see a little bit of different lifestyle.
Exactly.
Because I've heard from many people who have gone to places where it's poor or, you know, they don't have that much abundance at all. If anything, they're just struggling and they live such simple lifestyle. And then when you get to see that, when you get to see that and you're over here, you know, telling yourself, oh, I need to do this and that just so I can have a nice car, a nice house, so I can, you know, go on a good vacation, eat good food and stuff. And then you go to a different country and you just see these people living a certain way. It just kind of makes you realize that, yo, I'm okay. You know, I can take a little breather.
It's like almost like
and I'm
that
fine.
Guy can have this like broken down house, have a bad car,
right,
and he can be grateful. I can also be. It's got like motivation. It gives you motivation. Like, if that person can do it and still be happy and make me happy when I'm around him, why can't I be happy with all these things that I have? Now you start to see, like, okay, look, I have this. He doesn't. Let me be grateful for this. Like, you start to notice these little things.
Exactly, and I think that it is one of the most important things.
And then pride, obviously. I mean, this one's pretty simple. It's just like excessive belief in one's abilities. You think you're the best. You think you can do all things. And there's no one that can do better than you all that stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. That that's one of the things that puts you on this mindset where you don't like to be humble when you see someone that's doing better than you, stronger than you. Someone that's, because there's always a bigger fish in everywhere. You know what I mean? Like you in sports. Not gonna be always the best. There's always gonna be someone that can beat you. You're gonna be at the point where you're always gonna, like, not always, but you're gonna be at the point where you're gonna beat someone. There's gonna be someone that's gonna beat you.
Yeah,
so you have to be humble.
It's an endless cycle.
But you know what I mean? Like, so there are some people that no matter what happens, they're still so prideful. They just still think they can do everything. And
there's a Bible verse: God will exalt the humble and humble those who exalt themselves. So when you exalt yourself and you try to put yourself in a position where you think you're more than who you are, God will put you in your position and will show you who you really are. and then those who are humble and, you know, have acknowledged that, okay, I know where I am. I can be better. You know, I'm grateful for where I am. I think I'm good. All these stuff and are grateful. God will exalt you and show you that with your humility and with your honesty, you can be at great places. And to be honest, not only that what you brought up with pride, but interesting thing about pride is that one's own view on themselves can lead to thinking that they are doing things all by themselves and they need nobody else in their life and they're good. Even if everything was gone in their life, they could, you know, do it again, and they don't necessarily need their family members or their friends to help them out. They're good on their own. But that's very ignorant, because I think when we actually think about things, and the things that we have are very much so because of other people, number one, by God, and two, those who God has put in our lives to help us with things that other people have built that we use. Us having parents, us having friends, us having good community. Where we are is because of those people, and those people are where because of us, and it just goes around and around. I mean, people who have built all these buildings and technologies and have invented all these cool things that we can now use to develop our nation and our economy is because of those people's knowledge. So I think pride blinds somebody to the wisdom and the understanding that before you came, there were so many things that even if you were not here, those things would still be there. So you're not that.
The world doesn't evolve
around you. Right, exactly. You're not anybody that special for you to think that, you know, I got all of it, and I made all of it because of me and because I did something so unique and so special.
Usually they have trouble like submitting to God too.
Yeah.
They're prideful.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing, is you have a hard time really trusting God and you know, putting somebody above your own authority. Sure. All right, let's wrap this up, boys. Let's get to Christian culture. Interesting topic.
Let's do it.
Finally. Dude, it's so hot in this room, man.
Yeah, Sadul's sweating over here.
Dude, he's sweating. Doing
it, yeah, you're sweating too. I feel like the drops on your forehead.
Why do you think God sometimes lets bad things happen?
We had them.
Did we?
Yes. Yeah.
Did we?
Yes. And we keep doing blue to do something else. This was green. Green, yeah. Promise I'm not colorblind.
You're not, brother.
Brethren.
If God appeared to you right now, what question would you ask? Did we ever do it? No, we never had this.
A guest asked this question.
What?
A guest, Christian, or somebody asked the question
like
to
that?
Someone. Yeah, like that. We could use it. I mean, we could ask that to ourselves. We never answered it.
Yeah.
All of us.
I would just say, thank you.
Well, no, would you ask him?
Dude, I don't know. Would I really have a question?
I don't know. I don't know what I would ask, to be honest. I have to think about that.
Yeah.
Simple one. Let me think of something simple. What I would ask him.
Ooh. Whoa. I would be like.
Whoa. I got a little too excited, right?
Yeah, you did.
I would
relax.
I would just probably be like.
Relax.
For God to kind of put it in perspective, why he put me in this specific time, in this specific place, and what was his intention of that specific time frame. And why that? And not every other time that I could be in.
I would ask him to show me a visual. I would ask him to show me a visual of the world before the flood.
Ooh.
Like, can you please show me? I want to see the giants.
The Bible wasn't very descriptive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's gonna John me. You know, I did the John and like Revelations. John saw those. It's all the end times.
Like, I still don't know what to ask.
What are you curious about, bro?
What would be something you want to
do? Do you have any other forms?
Like, really have a hard time understanding that you would just want him to show you.
Are dinosaurs real, Jesus? Yeah. Oh, show me every single psyop the devil used on the world.
What is it?
Show me every single psyop the devil used on the world.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a very good one.
Could you please show me? Yeah.
Yeah, please. Yeah. If you're willing to, Lord.
Probably something like, why not sooner? Why did things not happen sooner?
What?
Why did things not happen sooner? So like when all these bad things are happening.
You'd be like, this was soon, wasn't it? You said it was soon.
Yeah, but for us, you know, it's like, why did this thing have to have happened? I don't know, okay. In a deeper sense of like, why? Like then he would explain.
What made you start the world? What made you start in the first place? Do you have any other creations? Oh, now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole.
Now you're just doing too much.
No.
So your question would be just overall evil or something specific within
overall evil and everything, I guess. Whatever's happening.
Oh, like why it had
to
happen
this way? Why did it have to not be this way? Because, you know, in our eyes, we're very limited to a lot of the things that we might think that is good and bad. But in his eyes, it's like, it's way greater than what we think.
Right, yeah.
I agree.
Good questions, boys. Quote of the day. Mikey, I'll let you do that.
The desire of the sluggard.
I give you the permission to.
The desire of the sluggard kills, for his hands refuse to labor. The desire of the sluggard kills, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverb 21:25.
This is a wisdom.
This is a wisdom?
No, this is wisdom. Yeah.
This is wisdom.
This is a wise saying.
This is a wise dumb. The desire of the sluggard kills. The desire of the sluggard kills.
For his hands refuse to labor.
What's a sluggard? What's a slug? A slug is an insect that is.
Yeah, I think. Isn't that the first kind of like sloth? Like when you're lazy, you're kind of sluggish. Like you're.
Yeah, slugging.
For his hands.
When I think of a slug, I think of that
it's
insect.
It's like saying because he's refusing to work.
Yeah,
that's what kills
him. Because he's lazy, his hands refuse to labor.
So therefore, he dies.
Therefore, you do die.
Yeah.
No offense.
The desire of sluggard kills
somebody's uncle.
Dude, that's not what it's saying. They die.
It's not desire of the sluggard kills.
Their desire
of laziness kills them.
Oh,
for
kills.
His hands refuse to labor. Because he keep on refusing
to. Okay, yeah, that's right.
Shout out.
I was in there for a long time, Sadula.
Should I do this one or you guys want to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Shout out. Word by word. Somebody's uncle, 1-866. Wow, right? They really have the answers.
Jesus has the answers, brother. Listen to Jesus. We're just mailmen. We just deliver his word.
No, I was just telling Mike this.
So do sometimes I typically have the answer, though, if I'm a mailman?
You don't have the answer.
No, but if I'm the mailman, right, I got a package.
Yes, you do have the answer. But it's not coming from you.
It's not from me, but I still have it in my hands.
Look, me and Mike were talking about this. Sometimes I don't know how to take those comments. I really appreciate the comment. I think I would like to say that it's in a positive way, but at this point, bro, I don't even know.
It could be sarcastic.
It could be sarcastic. So I hope it's
all of them. We actually have all of them in my mail room. My mail.
Right here, right?
In my library of mail. Yep.
Thank you so much for the comments. We really appreciate every single one of you for tuning in, watching us, hearing us, giving us comments. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about. Let us know what you guys are interested in so we can touch up on those topics. Something deep, something that you would find interesting or you would find helpful for us to discuss. We'd love to hear your opinion. Thank you so much. And until next time,
think big, grow big.
We have some interesting episodes coming up, guys.
Yeah, stay tuned.